8. 708, Jesus loves me, this I know. 708. I just keep trusting my Lord. Got a lot going on, so we'll try to make sure everybody understands what's going on. Most of you were here last Sunday when the Weltons were here, and we really enjoyed them being with us. And when the committee met with him after the dinner, the consensus was, when can you come back? We really liked him. Well, he said, yeah, I can come the 18th. Oh, okay, that quickly. That's great. So next Sunday, they will be back with us. He actually, by his choice, they're driving all the way up here instead of flying, and they're going to bring their daughter with them. And they are going to stay for the entire weekend. And that also means we will have a Sunday evening service this next Sunday. And Lord willing, we will have the Lord's table during that service. So I hope you'll come and be with us next week, and we'll see what the Lord does. So, all right, that's all the announcements I have for right now. 7:36.
Peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Where? Down in.
week. In fact, it's today. We may have to hold off till the morning service to sing. It's Brother Les Perella. So hopefully they'll be here for the morning service. And we'll sing happy birthday to him then. All right. So the children's class could be dismissed now. All right. Colossians chapter 4. Next Sunday, I plan to move on to the next memory verse. And it's a familiar passage to I think, most of you. You may not know the reference, but pretty sure most of you know the verses. It's in Matthew chapter 11. It's the famous passage where Jesus tells us to come to him when we don't have what we need. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So it's that passage. That's in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. So we will get to that next Sunday. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, yes. Okay, give it a shot.
Colossians 4, verse 5. Walking toward them that are without, redeeming the time.
Walking in wisdom. Yeah, all right, that's all right.
Walking in wisdom.
All right. Okay,
walking
very good.
Walking in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time.
All right, good. Okay, anyone else? Marsh, go ahead.
Colossians 4, 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time.
Very good.
I think I can say the 4.
That's okay. Okay, anyone else? All right, let's say it together. Colossians 4, 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. All right, of course we noted several times before that this is a parallel passage to the passage in Ephesians chapter 4. So that's good. God used the same author, and obviously the Holy Spirit was involved, and so the same guy was involved. Okay. Lorenzi.
Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's been a while since I've been here, that's for sure. I think in December. Brother Jason was saying, I think it was in December. And I'm rusty. I think the last time I preached was about 5 months ago. And it was a virtual church service. So kind of like, you know, that was different too, you know. But nonetheless, I have really one message this morning on my heart that I think we're going to spend the day on. We'll start in the morning service. Then we'll finish up, Lord willing, in the afternoon, but the other morning service. Some of you thinking, afternoon? Hold on now. Is there an afternoon service? But the thing is, it's when Brother Jason texted me and asked me if I would come to speak, fill in for today, I haven't been preaching out. I work full time and my job is a little more strenuous and everything else. But for some reason, I just felt like, you know what? I think the Lord wants me to come. Now, you can determine afterwards it may not be. I mean, you know, there have been times you think something and then afterwards you're like, yeah, that was a bad thought. Am I the only one that's ever made a mistake like that? Amen. You know, like eating too much. And then after you're done, you're like, you know, that was a bad thought. You know, but the message that I want to share is it's too big for one service. And I'm just hoping it's not too short for two, because I don't want to let you out too early. You know what I mean? Then just get used to that. And before you know it, you know, one thing we have to realize, there is no time limit. Now what I mean by that, please don't leave. I just share when preachers say that, usually it's an indication. Oh, here we go. I have a Baptist watch on. You know what that is, right? It's the one without the hands. But what I mean by that is there are preachers in churches sometimes that have a certain time. And even if the preacher's already done, they still have to meet that quota. What I mean is he could say what he needs to say in 20 minutes and be done. I've heard messages where what the main thrust was in 15, 20 minutes. I mean, you got what was necessary, but God forbid we close the Bible and just say, hey, God bless you, because now I'm a shallow preacher. Now I don't have nothing to say. You know what I mean? And so there's a pressure on preachers to, you know, I mean, I've heard messages that are so great and dynamite within the first, you know, 20 minutes, whatever it was. And then because of going on and on and on and on and on, they actually took that from me. I remember reading, you know, there was a book Spurgeon wrote on, you know, answering questions, preachers' questions. Spurgeon was, you know, as you well know, they called him the Prince of Preachers and whatever. No, it wasn't Spurgeon. I think it was John R. Rice. Anyway, it was a question somebody asked. Hey, how long should a preacher preach? And his answer was long enough to get the message across, but short enough that they don't forget that. In other words, there's been times I got the message, but was frustrated because it was going on and on for another half hour unnecessarily. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm going to do today is, you know, what I do, I know not now, but we'll find out hereafter. But nonetheless, I want to share with you something that's been on my heart for probably the last 5-6 months, maybe more. We're in a pandemic, as you well know. Now, you know, I pray for God to keep me from it, and if anything, keep me through it. If you get it, we just pray God keep us through it. What are the feelings that we're having, you know, during a pandemic? I mean, this is the first for me. Anybody over, you know, 100 and some odd years, you know, that could say I've been there, done that. what's the feelings, you know? Now, some have dynamite faith and there is no feelings, you know. You can lose your job, you can lose your house, you can lose everything and you're still upbeat. I mean, God bless you. I wish I had some of what you got. That's like some of what Job had. I wish I had that too. Could I ask a question in Sunday school? Can somebody just give me a little, what's the feeling? Give me a one word feeling of the time period, if you will.
Frustration.
Now, by the way, let me just say this. When your neighbor loses their job, that's a recession. When you lose your job, that's a depression. You understand what I'm saying to you? And a lot of people have lost jobs. So frustration. Anybody else? It's just one word to describe like kind of the moment we're in.
Afraid.
Yeah. Frustrated, afraid. Anybody else? I mean, just confusion. Very well. Confusion. Brother?
Agenda.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that too. Anybody else? I mean, just
fear.
Fear. Absolutely. Fear, frustration, worry.
Unusual,
there's no doubt about that. I mean, especially in the, like, what, maybe March. I mean, it was like, you know, what? You know what I mean? It's like, I just finished reading the New Testament. You know, we're in the pandemic. I'm a custodial worker, so I'm not laid off. I'm actually making overtime during the time period. But a lot of people are laid off, you know, and losing jobs and whatever. And I'm like, I finished the New Testament and we're in the middle of the pandemic, or not, I don't know, but the middle, but we're in the midst of it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to start reading the Psalms. If anything, I find reading the Psalms to me is very comforting because you see the psalmist just always going through it. But that's the operative word. He's always going through it. He seems to look back. You know what I mean? A lot of the Psalms are looking back like, whew, thank you, Lord. You know what I mean? Or sometimes you'll read the Psalm. He begins pouting. He ends shouting. I mean, and so I decided to read the Psalms, and I just reading the Psalms, reading the Psalms, reading the Psalms, and then I get to Psalm 55, where I'm going to ask you if you'll go there for a moment. Psalm 55, please. I get to Psalm 55, and I'm reading Psalm 55, and by the way, anytime you're reading the Scriptures, you got to pray for God to have something by the Spirit of God jump out to you. My prayer often is that the Holy Spirit would highlight for me what it is that he wants me to get, what I'm reading. You understand the thought of highlight. People just get saved. They get excited. You give them a Bible. You give them a highlighter. What happens? They're highlighting the whole chapter all the way through. The whole, you know, this is. But after a while, when you've been saved for a while, and you kind of start to get familiar with the scripture, you're reading through the familiar things and just praying for the Spirit of God to help highlight something maybe that you just never quite seen it like that before. And by the way, that's why we could stay in the book. If you continue my word, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free or make you free, right? And so I'm reading Psalm 55, and this is where the thought came. Look at verse number one. Look at the heading. If you have a Bible that has headings over before it begins, it says, to the chief musician on Neganoth, which is an instrument, a stringed instrument. He says, Mishil, if I'm saying it right, Mishil, something, it would be Mikil, whatever, but Mashkil, a Psalm of David. And I'm reading where David says, verse number one, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Now, obviously, David's going through something. By the way, if you read this chapter, you'll see Christ in it. You'll hear Christ in it, but it's not Christ, it's David. In Psalm 22, you'll hear David, I believe it was, who said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was David. But then you read Matthew 27 and you'll hear, my God, why hast thou? That was Jesus. David had to go through what he had to go through so Jesus could shine forth from him. You know, he has to work out, work getting rid of us that he might shine forth. You're never so Christ-like, but when you're suffering and suffering right. One of the greatest Old Testament examples in the Bible of Jesus Christ is Joseph. Very, very minute details. You ever study the life of Joseph? Just the details. He was loved by the father in a special way. You know, he was given that coat of many colors, but he was hated by his brethren. But there's Jesus right there. Thrown in a pit, sold as a slave. And by the way, the nation of Israel valued Jesus the price of a slave. They sold him. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown in prison. In prison, he was there with two different people, like the thieves on the cross. One would die, one would go free. I mean, just the life of Joseph is amazing. And toward the end, before you know it, he's given a name above all names at that time. Boy, Joseph never mimicked Jesus so much, but all the suffering that he went through. We all want to be Christ-like, but we want to be the positive Christ-likeness. I want to be Christ-like through all the happy days and times. Yet it takes suffering sometimes to be conformed in the image of his son, right? And so look at verse number four. So David's going through something, and he said, my heart is sore pain within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are, by the way, these are words that kind of describe the time period. I said, well, what are we going through? Fearful and so on. Horror, look at verse number five. Horror hath overwhelmed me. And that's where the highlight came for me. It may not come for you at the moment. That's between you and the Lord. But overwhelmed, there's the word. Overwhelmed. As I was reading this chapter and I got to that word, I thought to myself, hold on a minute, overwhelmed. Man, there it is right there in my mind. At least I was overwhelmed. I mean, you're watching the news and you're watching, hey, they got Wawa's loaning the hospital a freezer truck so they can store the bodies in it. I mean, listen, when it hasn't hit your home, it's not as real. But when you live in the city of New York and just hundreds of people are dying, and they have no room in morgues to put them. You got to rent a truck to throw them in. I mean, I'm watching the news. We're watching this going on. And we're, you know, it's overwhelming, right? Overwhelmed. And so what I did was I said, well, hold on a minute. Where else do we find the thought of overwhelmed in the Bible? And I looked into it and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six different times we find the word overwhelmed in the Bible. And guess what? Every one of them are in the Psalms. Every one of them in the Psalms. I want you to note something, if you would, please. In fact, if you're taking notes, jot these chapters down. Psalm 55, Psalm 61, Psalm 77, Psalm 124, Psalm 142, and Psalm 143. Those are the six Psalms that have the word overwhelmed in them. And five of those Psalms were written by one psalmist, and that was David. Boy, he expressed overwhelm many, many times. But Psalm 77 was written by Asaph. Okay, by the way, David was the only one, wasn't the only one overwhelmed. Amen. Asaph was overwhelmed as well. In the heading over Psalm 55 and over Psalm 142 is the same thought, and that is this: Mishil, a Psalm of David. Mishil, the word is believed to mean instruction. Instruction. So Psalm 55 was a psalm of instruction. Psalm 142, again, another psalm that uses or speaks of the word overwhelmed, is a psalm of instruction. And let me just say this, that this indicates that these psalms were written for the purpose of instruction. What David went through, he went through. And these psalms, these two, and I would say, yay, these six psalms, when I look at each psalm individually and I look at the thought of overwhelmed topically from these psalms, all of these psalms to me are Mishil in the sense that they are instruction. Instructions for you and I in times of being overwhelmed. Amen. In these psalms, these two psalms, yea, these six psalms, I believe that we find instructions on this: how to go through and get through overwhelming situations. I think that through these six psalms, we can learn this statement. I want you to get it: how to overcome being overwhelmed. Now, beside pandemics, we all have personal, family situations and circumstances that have been overwhelming or may be overwhelming. And if not, possibly could be overwhelming futuristically. Amen. And so I want us to note, if you will, three things that the psalmist, and I use that in plural, because now if it was David that wrote all six, I would just say psalmist. But because Asaph wrote one, I have to throw him in there as well, because we're going to gain instruction from all these psalms. I want us to know three things that the psalmist did to overcome being overwhelmed and how we can do the same. What I did was I said, hold on a minute. If Psalm 55 was written for instruction during a time of being overwhelmed, if Psalm 142 was written for a time of being overwhelmed, if I can look at these other psalms and I can learn something, what did they do when they were overwhelmed? How did they get through when they were overwhelmed? What I need to do is I need to study each psalm, and I did, and I need to look at each psalm, and I did, and I need to try to draw from them the common denominator. Like, what did you do to get through the overwhelming time that you went through? Because that's what I need to learn to do. Amen? And I want you to note, if you will, the first thing that the psalmists did in order to get through being overwhelmed, how to overcome being overwhelmed. I want you to turn with me to the one that Asaph wrote, and that is Psalm 77, please. Psalm 77. What we have is we have today a message, prayerfully, that will be a help to us, a benefit to us, a blessing to us. And let me just say this. If you're in a time period right now that everything's great, besides, you know, a pandemic and everything else, don't say, I really don't need this message. Don't make that mistake. Because only God knows what tomorrow holds for you and for me. Amen. There have been times God has tried to prepare you for something by speaking a word to you that had nothing to do with you at the moment. I try to illustrate it this way when I try to witness to people and share my faith to them about being saved. Some people seemingly aren't too interested, but they're respectful. They give you the time of day just to go ahead and share with the, you know, them and so on. And you know what? There might be times that, you know what? I ain't going to share it because I, not that they're outright saying, I don't want to hear blah, blah, blah. Then that might be something you might not want to cast the pearls before that swine. You know, I'm saying somebody that may not really, well, but I'll just give you the courtesy. Go ahead and share the gospel. Tell them how to be saved. Let them know Jesus is the answer. Because at that moment that they're listening to you, everything might be wonderful, great, and grand, and glorious. And then the next day, something may happen. And then all of a sudden, they remember that person told me, here's the answer. And here's the illustration. I walk up to you. I say, look, I got a front end fender for a Ford F-150. Would you like it? I know you have an F-150. Yours is perfect shape. What do you say? No, I'm good. That week, you get into an accident. What do you say? Oh, I wish I would, you know? It'd been nice just, you know, it was only $25. Could have threw it in the basement or the yard, whatever. What I'm saying to you is you might say right now, I really don't need this, doesn't really, you have no idea. And not only that, let me encourage you in this respect. Not only may this be something you'll need tomorrow, this may be something that somebody you love needs tomorrow. You see, we don't just get answers for ourselves when we're under the hearing of the Word of God. We get answers for others as well. Amen? Psalm 77, I want you to see here. One of the first things, and by the way, I'm not going to look at every, I'm giving you just general thoughts. I mean, this is something, if you'd like to, you can delve into each psalm on your own and everything else, but I'm kind of just giving you some thoughts here. The first thing the psalmist did in order to overcome being overwhelmed is this. Number one, the psalmist remembered the Lord. Remember the Lord. When they were going through the overwhelming time, the overwhelming situation, they had to remember the Lord. How many times have we tried to figure out something with God, wasn't even in the thought about it? Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Amen. Amen. Look at Psalm 77. Let's just take a gander from the beginning. I'll read you a few verses. It says over it to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, Psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was what? Overwhelmed. He's going through an overwhelming situation. He said to God, Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. And he's talking about, he thought about the good times he had. In verse number 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. He remembered singing a good song at one time. I commune with my heart. My spirit made diligent search. See, Asaph was going through some troubles and trials and tribulations. And by the way, that's prime time for the devil to step in and say something to you. Oh, look what God's doing to you. And all this time you've been faithful to Him? Doesn't He owe you better than that? You've served Him. You've done this. You've done that. And He's allowing this. I mean, who knows what the devil will say in your weakest moment? Amen? Verse number seven. Here's what Asaph was by the way, he said, my spirit made diligent search. He's speaking to himself. And here's questions he's having during his difficult times. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah, think about that. What is He doing? He's going through an overwhelming situation, an overwhelming circumstance. And as he's going through it, he starts to wonder and he starts to question the Lord. And by the way, that's not an unfamiliar topic. I've heard the Son of God question the Lord. From the cross. I quoted it earlier. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Who was that on the cross crying out? That was the Son of God. That was the Son of Man. You see, He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to struggle and to go through. Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Remember as he was praying and seeking the Lord, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That was the struggle of the humanity of Christ. To face the cross and to face the consequences of the sin of humanity. There's a Gethsemane struggle. I don't want to do this. But nonetheless, at the end of all the struggle and all the battle is, your will be done, not mine. By the way, we all have Gethsemane struggles. God's will, my will. Amen? So Asaph's going through it, and as he's going through it, he's contemplating some questions that he shouldn't be, because, but by the way, I don't have the time. There's an answer, a Bible answer for every question he had. His mercy endures forever. No, it's not gone forever. There's a wonderful Bible answer, but you know, when you're in the dark, deep midst of it all, you're not thinking clearly. Amen? And I want you to note, look at verse number 10, because here's the turning point. As Asaph's going through what he's going through and contemplating things inside, here's what Asaph said. He's basically, by the way, in this chapter, giving us a testimony of what happened. And I said, this is my infirmity. In other words, this is what I'm going through. I'm going through some struggles. I'm going through some battles. But what did he say? But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. What is the right hand? That's the powerful hand of God. I'm going through what I'm going through. I'm doubting what I'm doubting. I'm struggling what I'm struggling. I'm wondering what I'm wondering. But I have to on purpose say, no, 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 no. I need to remember the power of God. I need to remember Him. Amen? It's not gone. It's not over. Look at verse number 11, if you will. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate of all thy work and talk of thy doings, and so on. We need to stop in the midst of what we're going through and remember Him. Remember Him. And that's exactly what He said. Look what He says in verse number 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. You see, it was in the sanctuary where they would learn about the Lord. So he learned things about God that he need to remember. That he said, I'm going to call to remembrance. I'm going to remember what I've learned. And here's what he said. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? He began to remember that our God is great. Amen. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. Amen. Remember His greatness. And this is what he determined to do. He said in verse number 14, as he continues to remember, thou art the God that doest wonders. God can do anything, anything, anything. Amen. God can do anything. He said, thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. If you read on the rest of it, he begins to explain the deliverance of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt through the Red Sea. What does he do? He starts to remember who God was, how great and powerful and awesome. But he also started to remember what God did. He made a way for the children of Israel when there was no way. When we're going through overwhelming times and overwhelming situations, we have to make sure we on purpose determine to remember God. Remember who He is. By the way, the best way to refresh your memories right here. Boy, just going through the Psalms alone. The Lord is my light, my salvation, my refuge. The Lord is my help. Amen. Remember who He is, but also remember what He has done. You and I just don't have to remember what He's done for us, though that's a good thing to do. We can get into this book and remember what He did for His people in the past. Amen? To God be the glory, great things He hath done. Amen? This is what the psalmist did. The first thing they did, they remembered. Remember who God was, and they remembered who God is, amen, and what he has done, what he had done, if you will. And then let me give you the second thought. I want you to turn back to Psalm 55, please. Now, you start your morning service a quarter of, right? And I know we need to be done before that, though, right? I want you to look at Psalm 55, please. There are sermons and there are messages. Some people like sermons, but we all need messages. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. Sermons, sometimes you forget, but messages, it's hard to forget a message when the Lord really speaks to you. How to overcome being overwhelmed. The first thing the psalmist did, they remembered the Lord. The second thing we need to do, and the psalmist did, and we need to do, is the psalmist trusted the Lord. Trusted the Lord. Psalm 55, I want you to look at verse number 23. It's at the end of this chapter dealing with being overwhelmed. It says this, David said, "But thou, O Lord, shalt bring them down," and he's talking about his enemies, "into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days." What's he say there? So, "But I will trust in thee." During the time of being overwhelmed, David determined, "I will trust in thee." It's easy. Life is easy. When you're up on the mountain,
come on.
You got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change, and you're down in the valley. And that's where faith, amen, needs to take hold. If we could get to the place where Job was, though he slay me, no matter what goes on, I will trust him. Amen. Look at Psalm 61, if you would, please. That is another psalm in which the thought of overwhelmed is emphasized. Psalm 61, if you would, please. And I want you to look with me beginning in verse number 1. The heading of this one says, "To the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David." David said this, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." And by the way, five of the six psalms that deal with being overwhelmed, in reference to prayer, use the term cry or cried. Amen. There's one thing when you pray your prayers, another thing when you cry your prayers. Amen. "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." He said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee," when my heart is what? Overwhelmed. "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." I want you to get something. I'm reading the verse, I'm looking at the verse, and many times we just basically emphasize very quickly, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." But the whole verse needs to be understood. "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." What he's saying is, from where I am, and it's believed to be that this is a time when Absalom rebelled against David, drove him from the throne, drove him from the city, and he was on the outskirts. The end of the earth may be the end of that land of Israel. And he's away from God, away from the physical resemblance of the presence of God. And he said, "From the end of the earth, I'm still going to cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed." And I believe his cry is, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." In a time of overwhelming situations and circumstances, we need a rock, a solid foundation. A firm foundation, amen? And I thank God that you and I that are saved, we are on the rock. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, these are the things we need to understand during overwhelming times. My cry to God during the overwhelming time is, "Lead me to him." That's all. I need him. Lord, I need you. Amen. I need thee every hour. As you know, these are songs. Amen. That express it. But look at verse number 3. "For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust." There's the word trust. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Now, he wasn't there under the wings of the altar, if you will, but he knew that he was under the wings of God, because you can't go anywhere where God is not. Did not David say that? I believe in Psalm 139. Where can we go to run from the presence of the Lord? We can't go anywhere. He's there. He's not confined to a box in a city. The heavens of the heavens cannot contain him, Solomon said about building the temple. Amen? Only trust him. Only trust him. Look at Psalm 143, if you would, please. I'm just saying this. Listen, how did they get through overwhelming situations, overwhelming circumstances? They remembered the Lord. They remembered who he was. They remembered what he had done. And by the way, thinking about who he was and what he had done, I'm so glad to know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The earth waxes old as does a garment, but our God does not. Amen? He's not weak. He's not weary. In fact, he gives strength and he gives power, Isaiah 41 says, to the faint, to the weak. Amen? Thank God for that. Amen? And as Colossians says in chapter 3, he can strengthen us in the inner man by his spirit. Amen? And God knows we need that. Psalm 143. Look at verse number 8, if you would, please. I think I'm going to lose my voice today. Some of you are saying, yeah, but don't lose it too late in the day. Amen? Look at Psalm 143, if you would, please. We're talking about trusting. And this is a Psalm of David. It uses emphasis or speaks of being overwhelmed. I want you to look with me, if you would, please. Let's begin in verse number 1. David said, hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And that's a wonderful thought. We're not asking God to answer us because we think we deserve answers. We're saying, Lord, your righteousness, your faithfulness, answer me because of you, not because of me. Amen. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground, he hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit, what is that? Overwhelmed within me, my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old, I meditate on all thy works, I muse on the work of thy hands, I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, verse 7, hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth, hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Verse number 8 is the key verse, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I, what? Trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I shall walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. The psalmist, when going through overwhelming circumstances and overwhelming situations, so far we've learned they did two things. Number one, they remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. Remember who he is. Remember what he has done. And then they also trusted the Lord. And let me just say this, just a very simple statement. Remembering leads to trusting. Think about that. When you and I struggle with our faith, and by the way, we all struggle with our faith or in our faith, right? That's the battle of the Christian life, amen? When you and I remember who he is and what he has done, that will fuel our faith. That will encourage our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's one of the reasons we need to be reading the word of God on a daily basis. You find yourself in a circumstance or a situation and you read the scriptures and God uses something from the word to encourage your faith. I was in the ministry, and I'm going to end up with this because I know we need some time for restroom and stuff. So we started a church, my family, and I'm from the city of Philadelphia. Don't hold that against me, please. I'd like to be out of there, believe me. We started a church 20 years ago, Grace Baptist Church. A friend of mine's the pastor there now. But when we first started the church, we purchased an 8,000 square foot building, but it was an abandoned building. And we had a lot of work to do on it. A lot of work, little money. That's the way it usually is, right? A lot of work, little money. And just, you know, you go through a lot of struggles. How in the world are we going to do it? How in the world are we going to? We had a handful of people with an 8,000 square foot building. I mean, just to heat a building like that alone isn't more than we were getting. You know what I'm saying? And so we're going through this ministry. We're trying to start this ministry and we're going through and we're struggling. And as the pastor, I'm struggling. I'm thinking, you know, how are we going to? And then I read the scriptures. And I just read about Jesus telling Peter, you know, Peter, let's pay these taxes, right? Okay, where are we going to get the money? Well, just go down there and catch a fish. And in the fish's mouth is going to be the money. Now, I don't believe Jesus is going to tell me in Philadelphia, go down to the Delaware River and go catch a catfish and, you know, the money. I'm not saying that. You understand? I'm saying to you this by way of application. If he can pay the taxes by sending Peter down for a fish full of money, a fish full of dollars, that almost sounds Clint Eastwood. But anyway, if he can do that, he can do whatever for us. Oh, by the way, this was 20 years ago and the church is still standing and still going. What am I saying? I'm saying, look. If I wouldn't have read my Bible at that time that I'm trying to serve the Lord, I'd have never got that at the moment that I got it. Now, I've read that story many times, but never read it with the thought in my mind, how am I going to do this? It was at that moment the Lord said, well, let me just use this to encourage you. Or you'd read John 6. You'd read Jesus saying, okay, we got a great multitude here. They've been with us. I can't send them home. Let's give them something to eat. Philip turning around saying, oh, okay, where's the truck? You know, I mean, okay, I'll do that, Lord. You know what Philip did? He made the mistake of trying to figure it out. Can I get a witness on that one? Don't lean on your own understanding, Philip. You won't pull your hair out. That's what happened to me, by the way. First year of ministry, gone. Philip, feed them. By the way, he was testing Philip. That's what the Bible says. He said this to prove him. Test him. Feed them all. Philip tried to figure it out, and that was the worst thing you can do. Don't try to figure out the impossible. That's not your area. He should immediately said, okay, too much for me. You got to figure this out. But no, he's like, well, hold on a minute. You know what? If we had 200, that's dude. Jesus did this to test him because Jesus already knew what he would do. I read stuff like that and encourages me to say, okay, we got a problem. I don't know how it's going to happen. You know what? I ain't even going to waste my time trying to figure it out. You know what? He knows what to do. Sure. Let's just simply trust him and pray. Good. Amen. The Lord willing, I got one more point that we'll share in the afternoon. Amen. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father, thank you for the morning, Sunday school time, as we call it. Thank you for speaking to my heart over the last few months during this pandemic and all of the craziness that's going on. Thank you for speaking to me about how to overcome being overwhelmed. And I recall in my own situation after getting this message thinking, wow, okay, I got this message. And then finding myself in a situation I never expected just recently and having to actually try to put this into practice and seeing it work because the only thing I could do was pray. I pray you help us, Lord, if we are in an overwhelming situation, to remember you and to trust you. And maybe we're not in such an overwhelming situation, but someone we know and love is. Help us to encourage them to do the same. I pray you'll bless now our few moments of fellowship and bless the upcoming morning service. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your attentiveness.